Christ is risen. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church on this beautiful, bright, sunshiny Easter morning when people said we could have had a sunrise service today. And you're glad we're here at 9 o'clock. Welcome to all who are joining us here in the sanctuary. Welcome to those joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. Our food pantry volunteers for tomorrow are Linda and Ernie Champlin and Jan Nelson. Tuesday at 10 a.m., there's Bible study here. Thursday at 1 p.m., bell choir practice here. And next Sunday at 2 p.m., there is a church council meeting. We also have one announcement I wish I didn't have to make, and that is that this is George's last Sunday with us, unless, of course, he decides he doesn't want to move to South Dakota after all. But I believe this is your last Sunday with us, is it not, George? He's just confirmed it is. And so we are going to celebrate you, George, after this service. And so I hope everyone has a chance to come over to the fellowship hall. There is a book that we have to remind George of the Bighorn Mountains, and we're asking that all of you take the opportunity to sign it. And right now, what I'd like you to do is to stand up, face George, extend your hand for a blessing. So good and gracious God, we thank you for George. We thank you for the blessing that he has been to St. Luke's Lutheran Church and to the Buffalo community. We ask you, Lord, to bless him always. Bless him as he travels and relocates to South Dakota to be closer to family. Just bless him all of his days. Remind him that you go with him, Lord, that you are with him always, even to the end of the age. Be with him this day and forever. We ask all things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You are welcome. Thank you for all that you've done for us and our community. Are there any other announcements? If not, please stand as you are able and join me in the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, number 365. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading for this Easter morning comes from the 10th chapter of Acts. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Let us join together and read Psalm 118 responsibly, as found in your bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our second reading for this morning is from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.'" So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, we began our worship service by reading the portion of Matthew's Gospel that described Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem to cries of, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Later in the service, we read Matthew's account of Jesus' last meal with his disciples, his betrayal by Judas, his denial by Peter, his crucifixion and death. On Monday, Thursday, we heard how Jesus stooped down to wash the feet of his followers, even though he knew that one would betray him and one would deny him, and how he commanded them to love one another as he had loved them, saying that people would know them by their love for one another. On Good Friday, the communal celebration focused on the Stations of the Cross as we walked with Jesus on the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, as he stumbled and fell, as Simon of Cyrene was pulled from the crowd to help him carry his cross, as he encountered the weeping women as he was nailed to the cross, taunted and mocked by those who saw him, until he called out to his Father and breathed his last. At the final station, Jesus is laid in a borrowed tomb. In silence and heaviness of heart, we left Jesus behind at the tomb and went out into the world to wait. We know what happens Easter morning, but in the time between Good Friday and this morning, we can sit with the disciples in that place where it seems that death has prevailed, that it is victorious over the one who is life and love itself. I've been to many funerals and memorial services over the years. The saddest one I ever attended was for a theater friend who was an avowed atheist. Bill truly believed that once his life was over, he would simply cease to exist. For him, that meant that he needed to hold on as long as he could against the cancer that would ultimately claim him, because once he breathed his last, he would be gone, except in the memories of those who knew and loved him. He wanted his friends and family to gather together and celebrate his life, and we did. I listened during that memorial gathering as his friends got up and spoke about him. I was not surprised that several of those people spoke directly to him, telling him how much he meant to them, though it seemed ironic that they were addressing a person who believed that there was nothing after death. I have to wonder how Bill reacted. I've been to other services where joy is mixed with sorrow. At death, there is sorrow that a loved one is no longer physically present. There is a sort of relief when death releases a person from a body that has been failing them. There is joy that a loved one has gone to be with God, and that someday there will be a reunion where there will be no more sadness and no more goodbyes. It is usual in Christian memorial services to recall the promises of our baptism, where God claimed us as God's own, and to express our trust in the words of Romans 8, that nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lent has offered us a time to journey with Jesus to the cross. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday have given us a time to sit in the sadness with those who followed and loved Jesus. We read in Matthew's Gospel that after Jesus was arrested, all of his disciples deserted him and fled. Several of the women who had followed Jesus and supported him in his ministry We're there to see Jesus take his last breath, to feel the earth quake, and to hear a centurion confess, truly this man was God's son. Because it was the afternoon and Sabbath was quickly approaching, preparations needed to be made hurriedly. Pilate gave permission for Joseph of Arimathea to take the body of Jesus, and Joseph wrapped the body and placed it in his own new tomb, which had been hewn into the rock. And then he rolled a great stone in front of the door of the tomb and went away. Matthew states that Mary Magdalene and another Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. They saw where their Lord's body had been laid. They needed to return following the Sabbath to anoint, perfume, and clothe the body in the proper manner, befitting the one who they had called their teacher and their Lord, the one that they truly had hoped would be the Messiah. Guards were posted at the tomb to prevent the disciples from stealing the body. Think of the sun setting on that Friday as the Sabbath began. What would Sabbath have been like for the disciples and the other followers of Jesus after all that they had experienced? How could they worship properly when their hearts were so heavy? What were they to do now that Jesus was gone? What did it mean for them now that he was dead? And now that he'd been killed, would they be next? Just sit for a few moments with them. As light is dawning on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary go to the tomb to complete the preparation of Jesus' body. They would have brought water and cloths to bathe the body, perfumes and spices to anoint it, new linens to wrap it. They must have dreaded what they would see once the stone was rolled back. The stillness of death, the smell of death, the finality of death. Perhaps they talked to one another about how this would be the last time they ever saw their Lord. As they arrive at the tomb, the earth quakes again, and this time the stone is rolled back. They see an angel in dazzling white, and they see the soldiers guarding the tomb stunned and shaking in fear. The angel tells the women, "Do not be afraid." The words angels say throughout Scripture whenever approaching people, which must mean that the very sight of them is frightening. "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him." We're told that they left the tomb quickly in fear and great joy. Fear and joy. What a mingling of emotions. Jesus' death changed everything. Everything that they'd hoped for, everything that they'd believed about who Jesus was and what he'd come to do. Jesus' resurrection changed everything again. Now they can look back at all the things that he said about himself and know that all that he said is true. The women rush out in fear and in joy, and before they can even reach the disciples, Jesus meets them, saying, "Greetings, greetings," as though they should have been expected to see him again. And so they should have understood all that he said about his death and resurrection, about death not having the last word. They took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? By dying, Christ has conquered death, and by rising, Christ has opened to all of us the gates of everlasting life. This morning, I read a Facebook blog post by Chris Bird, who is a scholar and writer. Last year, he lost both his young son and his father. And he wrote, "For now, buried in the earth in Annapolis, Maryland, uniformed as a midshipman in the United States Naval Academy, the body of my young son, Luke Gabriel Bird, lays at rest. For now. Having finished the race and kept the faith, my elderly father, Carson Wayne Bird, departed this life, and his earthly remains are buried in the cemetery in Shamrock, Texas. For now. And for now, I weep and grieve and often stare into the distance at nothing, remembering happier days before two swords pierced my soul this last year. But now, today, I take a deep breath, fill my lungs, and roar in defiance at death, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, for Christ is risen. For now we weep, but not forever. For now we agonize, but not forever. For now we visit cemeteries, but not forever. Because now and always, the lungs of Jesus that stopped breathing, the heart of Jesus that stopped beating, the limbs of Jesus that grew cold and gray were flooded with warmth, pulse, and breath. His body twitched. His eyelids shot open. He inhaled the air. A smile formed on his face, and he rose. He rose. He stood. He was and is alive again. For now, now and always and evermore, Christ is alive, bodily resurrected, victorious over death. For Luke, for Carson, for me, and for you, and for all who are found in Jesus. For now, cemeteries are allowed temporarily to house the bodies of our loved ones. But this is not their final resting place. Far from it. One day, O Lord, make it soon. The trumpet shall sound, gravestones will pop like champagne corks, and the glorified bodies of believers will spring from the earth. A vast army will stand, arrayed in white, with faces uplifted to shout hallelujah to the returning King of Kings. For now we wait. We decorate our tears with smiles, season our grief with hope, and anchor our souls in the resurrected flesh of the God who became man, who became dead, and who became fully alive again. For you. The women, the first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, they came the first to preach the good news that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, that he has conquered death itself. In the book of Acts, we're told how that message spread. Our task as followers of Jesus is to continue to spread that message. The words of those first witnesses, those first preachers of the good news, echo today as we proclaim, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Please stand and join in our hymn of the day, Thine is the Glory, number 376.
Thank you.
Let us together confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
You call your church to witness to your salvation. We give thanks for all theologians, preachers, and teachers who proclaim your gospel. Equip all the baptized to share the joy of your resurrection in all we say and in all we do. Risen Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. You bring abundant life throughout creation. The green blade rises, and all creation greets the resurrection dawn. Preserve vineyards and orchards and those who tend to them. Feed us with the fruits of creation. Risen Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You show your steadfast love without regard to borders, barriers, or human-made divisions. Infuse your justice in every nation of the world, that all experience the peace that only you can give. Risen Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. You anointed your Son with the Holy Spirit and with power. Encourage us by his example in our ministries of healing, care, and outreach. We pray for all who are sick or hospitalized, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. And we pray for all healthcare workers who care for the sick and hospitalized. Risen Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. You have put gladness in our hearts. Inspire musicians and dancers to rejoice with songs of victory. Bless the music ministries, especially Julie, of this congregation, and all who foster our assembly's song. Risen Lord, in your mercy.
As you have raised Jesus from the dead, you show us your resurrection promise. With your holy ones who have sung your praise, free us from fear and empower us to go and tell the good news. Risen Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace.
Thank you.
And we thank you for supporting the ministries of this church with your tithes and your offerings.